2 Timothy chapter 1, and wanted to bring a message this morning, obviously Mother's Day. What a difference a mother can make, amen? And I'm so thankful for you here today, mothers and grandmothers, that are so faithful to God, that have served God faithfully. And some of you men, I know you had a godly mother or a mother that influenced you in some way, and so praise God for that. The ministry of a mother, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Notice verse number 5, we'll read this verse and then we'll be moving to other portions of Scripture. But as we start out, he says, "When I call to remembrance, notice the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice." Notice this, "and I am persuaded that in thee also." Isn't that a wonderful verse? He says to Timothy, as he's writing to Timothy, we've just gone through 2 Timothy on Wednesday evening, and it was really interesting to look at. But he gives the pedigree of Timothy. He gives the heritage of Timothy. He says, "Now, Timothy, I see in you an unfeigned faith." That word unfeigned means real, right? Feigned means fake or faux or a veneer. So he says, "I see some realness and authenticity in you, Timothy. Your faith is real." And he says, "I saw it first," notice, "in thy grandmother and thy mother." In thy grandmother and mother. What a joy it is to be around godly grandmothers and godly mothers. And praise God. Some of you may not have grown up with a godly mother. I don't know your situation. But you can, as I heard one person put it, you can stop the bleeding in your generation. You can do something different. You don't have to wait or follow in the steps of those people. Those of us that have godly mothers, praise God for them. But he says, "I see in you the faith." The faith that dwelt first in not only your mother, but your grandmother. What a wonderful thing. I heard the story of a young man and he thought, "Oh, what am I going to get my mother for Mother's Day?" He couldn't think of, you know, it's hard, man. What am I going to do? And so he thought about it. He said, finally, you know, she's got everything she needs. He says, "I've got a great idea." He found online you could buy a live parrot bird that quotes the entire Bible from memory. He quotes it. It's a real bird, you know, and he thought, "Man, that is great." It was like real expensive. He thought, "Oh, man, I don't know if I have the money." He said, "I'm going to do it anyways. I think she's really going to enjoy it." So he buys this bird, this parrot for her. It comes in a, you know, small cage, and he's excited, and he sends it to her, mails it to the house, and it's real, you know, important, precious, and the UPS guy brings it up to the porch, and he says, "It's from your son," and she says, "Wow, that's fantastic. This is awesome." Well, he didn't hear anything back from his mother for several weeks. And finally, he called and said, "Mom, did you get my gift?" She said, "Oh, I did. I forgot to call you." He says, "Well, how's it working out for you?" She said, "The chicken was delicious." It was delicious. Little miscommunication there, okay? You think about what to get a mother. What to get a mother. As you go through and think about here, we have a great opportunity to honor our mothers today. But look at a ministry of a mother. Now, first of all, I want you to see this with me. The protection of a mother. The protection of a mother. What does a mother do? Well, she protects her child. First of all, I want to say from the dangers of this world. From the dangers of this world. There's a story in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter number 2 in particular, of a lady by the name of Jochebed. You that know your Bible, you know who that is. And she comes, and you know Pharaoh tells the nation of Israel, he says, "Now listen to me, because you're getting too big in numbers..." I just read through this. I'm going back through my Bible reading now, and I'm about halfway through Exodus, and I just read this. But Pharaoh was smart enough. He knew that politically and militarily and other areas, it's not wise to let this nation over here get too big or get bigger than us. And he thought about that, and he said, "It's not good unless the enemies come, and they follow the enemies, and they defeat us as Egyptians." So he says to the midwives, what does he say? "Any boy that's born, you kill it." This is the first real push for abortion. You find it in the Scripture. First real push. And he says, "You kill it." He tells his servants, he says, "If there's little baby boys that you find, you take them and you throw them in the Nile. You throw them in the river. Let them drown." He says, "If it's a girl, you let them live." Well, Jochebed comes. She says, "You know what? I'm not going to follow that. I'm not going to listen to that." And by the way, let me just say this. When the world's rules and God's rules come to a crossroads, as they often do, what do? We follow God rather than man. Now, there's a fine line there in some cases, and we have to be careful, okay? But you think about it. She said, "I'm going to follow God's way instead of man's way." By the way, the midwives, what do? they don't kill the babies. And Pharaoh says, what are you doing? I thought I told you to kill those baby boys. And they said, well, Pharaoh, our women are not like your women. They're lively, meaning before we even get into the house, the baby's already born. I mean, they deliver fast, real fast. Now you think about this. She takes the baby, you know this, takes baby Moses, puts him in the basket, puts him in the river and among the reeds there on the side on the bank, and there's Pharaoh's daughter. She's out washing herself. By the way, very interesting to think about as I was thinking. Pharaoh's people, especially Pharaoh's daughter, they don't go down and wash in the river like the peasants. Why was she down in the river? I think personally she was down there trying to save babies. I don't know. That's just my idea. I think she was saving babies. But she hears the baby cry and everything that comes, and there comes Miriam and says, would you like me to find someone who can nurse the baby for you? She said, absolutely. She goes and gets who? Mama. And the mama comes out and says, I could nurse that baby for you if you want me to. Okay, go ahead, nurses the baby, and et cetera, goes on and on. We know the story. But I want you to notice with me, she had the protection of a mother. She protected this baby from the dangers of the world. She protected this baby, the dangers of the world. Let me just remind you, the most extreme cases is this world wants to destroy your child. This world wants to destroy your grandchildren. Boy, they want them. By the way, if you don't want your kids, the world will take your children with arms wide open, won't they? The world says, you don't want them? We'll take them. We'll take them. Constant push on our children today, isn't it? The influences of the world, the music, the movies, the drugs, and everything else that's pushed against and onto our children. Proverbs 4, verse 3 says, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. You see some kids and you go, man, only a mama could love that kid. You know, you're going, man, they're rotten. Only a mama. But you protect them from the dangers of the world. Now, not only the mothers, let me say the fathers. Now, next month, fellas, it's our turn, and we get to hear what we're supposed to do. But we protect them from the dangers that are around us. Can I encourage you with this? Notice, first of all, under this point, there's an agenda of the adversary. The agenda of the adversary. Satan wants to destroy not only the body, not only the soul, not only the spirit, but the minds of our children. He wants to corrupt them. And we know 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. You love the world, you're an enemy of God. We have an affiliation with the world, we're an enemy of the God of heaven. The dangers. How do we protect our kids? Not only from the design of Satan, the agenda of our adversary, we see that. We put them where they need to be. We put them where they should be. We think about the example set here in 2 Timothy. He says, when I think about it, the remembrance of that. Now, I don't know how the situation went down, but I can only imagine. In the book of Acts, we read how Paul came to this area up there. It's called Derbe, Iconium, Lystra, in this area, this southern part of Galatia, the county, if you want to call it, the province of Galatia. And there was a young man there by the name of Timothy that he noticed and said, man, this kid is on point. This kid is sharp. He's on fire for God. And then he finds his grandmother and his mother, and he meets them and he talks with them. And no doubt he had some fellowship with them. Probably went home and had dinner with them. I don't know. And they talked and told Paul how that they're trying their best to serve God in a wicked world, and how they've had much persecution and nobody else is following them, and they're trying to live right for God. And I want to say today, we need more godly mothers and grandmothers that'll stand for the things of God. We're not going to do that. We're not going to listen to that. We're not going to watch that. We're not going to go there. That's exactly what happened. Can I say secondly, though, not only the example set, but being wise to that which is good and simple concerning evil. Romans 16:19, you don't have to turn there, but he says, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. Yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Right? Well, our kids need to experience some stuff to know not to do it. No, that's foolishness. They don't need to know that, right? He says, be wise to that which is good and simple concerning evil. Well, they'll grow up to be naive. They'll grow up to be, you know, they don't know what. That's fine. Simple concerning evil. I'm just saying that ministry of a mother. We're encouraging them to follow the Lord, encouraging them to know more of the Word of God. And by the way, don't you be ashamed of your walk with God around your kids. they want to bad, you're maybe teenage or grown adult children want to badmouth you about your ministry, about your love for the Lord. Why you always got to be reading your Bible? Why you always got to be listening to that music? Why you always going to church? Why you always praying? You go ahead and do it anyways. You go ahead and keep going anyways. I'm telling you, one day they're going to look back and they're going to say, thank God I had that. Now you think about today, as I move on, I must hasten here. We must not only set the example, talking to all of us today, we must be encouraging them to be wise to that which is good, simple concerning evil. But can I say, thirdly, we need to teach them the Word of God. Teach them the Word of God. Now take your Bibles. Let's go all the way back to Deuteronomy, all the way back. And I want you to see what's commanded or given by God to the nation of Israel. Now Deuteronomy chapter 6, as you recall, is a wonderful portion of Scripture that the nation of Israel was commanded to memorize, commanded to know. Chapter 6, notice verse 6. And these words, notice, which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently, not half-heartedly, notice diligently, unto thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Now this is something done still today with the Jewish people. They take, if you've seen it before, they have a little black box that they wrap around their forehead and put it right here. And inside is tiny, 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 tiny scripture that they put inside of there. They took this literally, didn't they? Literally. But it's a great symbol of them knowing the Word, memorizing the Word, walking with the Word as He commands here. But He says, teach them diligently to thy children. How are we going to protect our children from the dangers of the world? They've got to know the Bible. It's simple as that. I know it sounds cliche, but it's simple. They've got to know the Bible. There's coming a day when they're going to grow up and leave the house sooner than later. It's moving so quickly. They're going to leave the house, those of you that your children are already grown. And they're going to walk out into this world and realize very quickly, about 2 days into the world on their own, and go, boy, I don't know what I'm doing. You remember those days? What in the world am I doing? I don't understand. I don't know what to do here. I don't know what to do there. I don't know how to handle these pressures and all these situations and all these things that happen. You go a little bit further down the road, 10, 12 years in adulthood, and they're married, and they find out they're in a bad situation or whatever the case is, right? This world is a mess. What are they going to do? They better fall back on, and they're going to fall back on the Word of God. And they're going to say, I know what Mama taught me. I can remember what Daddy told me. I know what they said. I know to follow the Word. Now you say, oh, that sounds so, so simple, but it's so true. And God told the nation of Israel, when you enter into the promised land, I want you to know the Word of God. He later will tell Joshua, he says, if you want to have good success, here's what you do. What do? You follow this book of the law. You follow the book of the law. He doesn't say, try and do this and try and make business adventures over here and try to get more money over here and buy more property here and do this and build bigger and brighter and better. What's he say? Know the Word, doesn't he? Know the Word. Oh, I love that. The ministry of a mother. Okay, let me move on here. I must move quickly. We see, secondly, not only the protection, but the direction. Okay, the direction of a mother. The direction. Now, we see this. Hebrews 11. In fact, let's go there. Let's go to Hebrews 11. I want you to see this instead of me just reading it. Hebrews 11. Now, let's go all the way back forward, I should say. Hebrews 11. The great hall of fame of faith, we call it, Hebrews 11. Go down to verse number 23 and notice this. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not, notice this, afraid of the king's commandment. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. This first point here of the direction of a mother, really the direction of a parent, that they directed him. They saw he was a proper child. They saw that there was something special. Now, every parent sees something special in their child, right? But it says they were not afraid. They're not afraid of that. Sometimes we're too concerned, I'm speaking of myself, too concerned about what people think, too concerned about what they're saying, too concerned about what the world is doing, what the world is saying. Hey, let's come back to the Word of God. What does the Bible say? How am I supposed to raise my child? How am I supposed to encourage? What am I supposed to do? Let me say again, number one, are you adamant and consistent in sharing the gospel with your children and grandchildren? Now, again, that's very difficult. For especially grandchildren, you don't want to shove it down their throats. You don't want to be overbearing, but we can be consistent. For our children, again, we have to be careful because we don't want to just do it. And they say, oh, yeah, I want to do that. And they don't understand it. That's where stage we're at right now with our children. I don't want to make them do a false profession of faith just because sisters did it, just because brother did it or whoever in your family. No, I want them to really understand what the gospel means. But are we consistently, faithfully sharing the gospel? First thing we do is pray. I try and pray every single day for the salvation of my kids. Every day. Lord, work. Lord, help us. Lord, direct. Lord, do what you are doing in the lives of my children for the number one reason of seeing them saved, the direction. Number two, are you helping them in the will of God? The will of God. The first step in the will of God, you know that, is the salvation of their soul. The second step is baptism. The third step, you'd say, would be more like a discipleship, helping them in the Word of God, leading them in the things of God. I said this before, but I don't do it as often as I should, but I try and mention to them, what do you think God is doing in your life? Which way do you think God wants you to go? And usually their response is, oh, I don't know. You know what? I don't know what you mean by that. But just trying to get in their heads, right? Because when they get 16, 17, 18, 25, 35, they go, oh, what do I do? I have an option to go here or an option to go there. What do I do? You come to the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? You know, we have 45, 55, 65-year-old adults that have never asked that, that don't even know what to do. You have people in your own family, 45-year-old adults, married, have how many kids? And they're going, what do I do when this? What am I doing? How do I do it? And you try and encourage them, as I know you do. What do you think God wants you to do? And I'm just saying today, this is the direction of a mother, direction of a parent. But notice what it says. They were not afraid. Parents must learn to depend on the Lord. No matter how much we plan and protect, we know God is sovereign. Okay, God is sovereign. God is at work. God is guiding. God is working. But He wants to use us, and He knows the plan that He ordained is to use parents. We're to go forward. We're to do what we're supposed to do, right? We're to do what we're supposed to do. I like the quote, and I've said it before, so laugh anyways, okay? But you know the definition of a grandmother? It's someone who visits your house to keep your mom from spanking you. Amen? Okay. I like that. Isn't it funny, too? I think I was telling Brother Adam the other day, I think, our parents used to tear us up. Didn't they? I mean, whoop our hides for everything. And then they, you spank one of the grandkids or get on and they, oh, don't do that. Don't get mad at them. They didn't mean it. You know, and you're going, what? I saw a thing the other day. He said, this is what my parents, you get close to the TV. And what'd they say? You're going to go blind if you stay close to the TV. You remember them saying that? What do they got now? The VRs. They're on their face like this. You know, 20... It's just funny. What you think about, okay, let me go on here. We need to, the direction of a mother. Direct. The Lord used this lady, Jochebed, to fulfill the will of God for Moses. To fulfill the will of God for Moses. When your kids can't make a decision, what? The parents are there to help them, to guide them along. Allow God to use you to fulfill His will in your child's life. In your child's life. That's why I encourage, again, make them be in church. Make them be in church. Let me say thirdly here, and I'll wrap it up, the connection of a mother. Not only the protection and the direction, but there's a connection of the mother. The connection. We see here that they trusted God rather than the world. They refused the way of the world and went the way of God. And they chose to nurture the child during the most vital age of development. The most vital age. Now let's continue. Verse 24 here. By faith Moses, when he was come to years... That means adulthood, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin, what does it say, for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So we see that. We see, first of all, that he trusted the Lord. When he came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Well, where did that come from? I believe it came all the way back to those very vital years of his childhood when he saw the faith of his mother, the faith of his father. You think through this. Notice, he chose, that's a personal thing, chose to suffer with the people of God. He refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter. Now, we're going to hopefully get into this in our Bible Institute here, maybe in the next couple semesters or so. But if you do any research or history on Moses, the Bible doesn't cover a lot of Moses' life prior to him leading the nation of Israel out of Egypt. But if you do some history on it, you're going to find Moses was a mighty, prominent man in Egypt. He, in fact, it's said that he led several campaigns as a general in the army into battle. He was very prominent. He was very powerful. And yet, notice he chose to follow the things of God. I'm all for our kids being very successful. I want our kids to have, if they want to go to college, great. They want to get a good job. That's fantastic. But what I'm interested, number one, is what? That when they come to adulthood, their goal is not to be rich and wealthy and famous and have all, what is it? They choose to go God's way. And if God's way is for them to serve somewhere in a church, or God's way is for them to go serve on the mission field somewhere and be poor and not have a lot of things, listen, they know they're in the will of God. And that's what Moses did. He looked at all that he had. He could have had any girl, any woman. He could have had anything he wanted. In fact, that's what America's after today. And yet he stopped and he looked and he said, I'd rather choose to be like mama. I'd rather choose to be like daddy. They don't have anything. They're poor. They're uneducated. They don't have much. They work tirelessly. Their knees are sore. Their hands are blistered. But by God's grace, I'll be just like them. Right? Amen? I'll be just like them. And what were they? They loved the Lord. Oh, they loved the Lord. Notice that. Rather choose God's way. Rather. Underline that. I love that. Verse 25. Rather suffer affliction than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Again, a reminder. The world deceives our children into thinking that sin is long-lasting. Pleasure is more than... I'll be careful. We do have a young... More than that. They try and get our kids to what? To think. The here, now, and now. And I love the quote. Don't sacrifice the eternal on the altar of the immediate. Isn't that what people do today? I want the immediate pleasure. Oh, that was it. Oops, I just ruined my life. Oops, now I got to deal with this the rest of my life. You think today, notice that. The pleasures of sin for a season, Moses realized, and by the way, after having all, isn't it fascinating that these people that get all the money and have all the prestige and all the popularity, when they get to the top, what do? They say, this is it, right? This is it. Their marriages fall apart. They can't figure out what to do in life. They end up putting a rope around their neck, having multi-millions of dollars, because they get to the top and go, this is empty. If this is all I have in this world, and Jesus made mention of this, just a reminder, he said, don't look at those people that have wealth and have everything they have. They have their reward. This is all they get. This is the world. Let them have it. Let them enjoy it. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, right? Where neither moth nor rust nor thieves break through and steal. That's triple security, man. That's where my treasure is. You go ahead and laugh. You can go ahead and mock. You can go and didn't put me down and put us down for not having everything in this world. But listen, I'm telling you, our treasure's laid up. And Moses said, I'm going to go ahead and go the way of God. I'll go the way of God. Okay, now let me wrap it up here. Refused to go the way of the world. He says, verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Just a reminder, Egypt was the wealthiest nation in the world at that time. It's like the United States of America. Greater riches, the reproach of Christ, greater riches, not the riches of Christ. What does it say? The reproaches of Christ. To be reproached for Christ, to be put down, to be persecuted. He esteemed that greater than the riches. Now, if it would have said the riches of Christ or the riches of Egypt, okay, y'all choose the riches of Christ. It doesn't say that. The reproaches of Christ. He would rather suffer affliction with the people of God and yet know he's in the will of God than live for the world. That's the kind of kid I want our children to be. And you think about that. They're not all going to turn out just perfect. They're going to go through challenges. They're going to take the long road. They're going to have some issues. We know that. We're sinful people. But oh, when they come to age like Moses did, and he looked out over that vast kingdom, and he stood up in the palace, in the penthouse of that palace, and he looked out over that vast kingdom there. He said, you know what? I'd rather be like Mama. I'd rather be like Daddy than be like Pharaoh. I've seen Pharaoh. I've seen Pharaoh's daughter, my adopted mother. I've seen what she finds pleasure in. I've seen what he finds pleasure in. I've seen how empty he is. I've seen, although he has everything in the world, he's empty. He's empty. And he's got to take some kind of medicine every night to just fall asleep so he doesn't sit there and think about the things that run through his brain. I've seen my mommy, and she has peace. She lays her head down, as the psalmist says, and gives sweet peace, sweet peace. Now, let me wrap up here. These convictions, because of a godly mother. What kind of difference a mother can make? Well, he identified with God's people. Paul reminds us not to be ashamed. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation in Romans 1. To separate from sin, a conviction that was instilled in Moses. To wait on God's reward. He waited on God's reward. The temporal over the eternal. I want it here. I want it now. I want it done now. That's the world. But notice he says, no, I'll go ahead and wait on the eternal. John Wesley, famous evangelist of the past, he made this statement. He said, I learned more about God from my mother than all the theologians in England. I learned more about God from my mother. And you think about that. What a challenge today, as we see. Mothers and grandmothers, thank you for coming today, and praise God for you. I've talked with each one of you, and you've all told me your testimony. You've talked and told me you're leading your family. You're helping your children, your grown adult children and younger children. And you're walking the way God wants you to walk. I want to encourage you to continue to walk. I know it will not be easy. I know it will be difficult. I know it's challenging, and us men don't even realize the depth of that. But you keep on going. Moses, and God looked out and he said, who could I use to deliver my people out of Egypt? And there was a guy, by the way, an old guy, out in the backside of the desert, leading a bunch of stinking sheep. And he said, I want to use him. I want to use him. He saw something in that man, but it was instilled in him at an early age by a godly mother and a godly father. Godly father. 3 John verse 4, I'll close with this. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I have no greater joy. And I know you parents are the same. You grandparents are the same. You hear that they make money. You hear that they become very successful. Hey, that's great. You know they have some financial stability, some financial structuring. I don't know, whatever you call it. But more than that, if you're a believer in God today, as I know you are, when you hear him walking in truth, you go, thank God. Thank God. Why? Because you know the way of God, and you know his protection, and you know his will, and you know he's good. And when you hear him walking in truth, those of you that maybe don't have children walking for the Lord today, I want to encourage you to keep praying for them. We believe in something called intercessory prayer. You pray on the behalf of your child. You pray for them. You pray for them. And you keep praying for them. Every morning, however many times God puts them on your heart, you pray for them. And you let them know, son, I'm praying for you. Honey, I'm praying for you. And they may say, don't pray for me. You know, I don't know. They may laugh. You just pray for them. And I want you to watch what God will do in their lives. Those of you that have believing children, you keep encouraging them to walk with God. You set the example. You keep going forward. You say, son or daughter, I want you to see, not just hear from what I say. I want you to see me. I want you to see my walk with God. It's real. Paul says to Timothy, he says, Timothy, I've seen the unfeigned faith in you, son, and I saw it in your grandmother. And then I saw it passed down to your mother. And he says, I believe it's in you too. It's in you too. Timothy went on to lead that church at Ephesus for many years, and he was eventually martyred. They took him out and they beat him to death and dragged his body through the streets. Do you think he went willingly? I believe so. Recant, or we're going to kill you. Timothy said, do what you got to do. I am not recanting. I'm not giving up my faith in Jesus Christ. Why? Because he looked back and he thought about Eunice, and he thought about Lois, and he thought about him, and he said, they wouldn't have done it. Would mama have given in? Would grandmother have quit when she had a club to the back of her head? When they were about to tie her and burn her to the stake, would she have given up? Nope. I'm not going to either. Amen? I like that. That's wonderful. Leading. Oh, what a difference a mother can make. Amen? Praise God for you mothers and grandmothers. Once again, thank you for being here. Thank you for your faithfulness. Listen, doesn't go unnoticed. Doesn't go unnoticed. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your tremendous grace in our lives. I'm sharing things again this morning. I say often that we know, but a great reminder. I'm so thankful again for these here. Lord, especially as we concentrate on the mothers and grandmothers today, what a joy. I'm thankful personally for a godly mother that loves you, and I thank you for these here that set the example as well. I pray you'd help us, all of us, God, to walk. What a testimony. It's easy to say when everything's going well that we're going to serve you, we're going to love you, we're going to choose to serve you rather than the world. When hard times come, Lord, help us, strengthen us to keep that same tone. We love you and thank you, Lord, once again. In Jesus' name, amen.